Good, you?
Good. Hey, so you got two straight wins at Phoenix, at least last year in the championship. How do you feel going into the weekend?
I feel like probably the best thing that I've heard all year that I've probably been saving for this moment came from Chase Elliott. You know, past success doesn't equal future success. You know, it's pretty hard to go back-to-back in races, let alone three times and at a certain racetrack, but obviously championships as well. So we have that opportunity, and I think we're well prepared for it.
What has your team been missing this last half of the year?
One spot, like for the last 2-4 weeks, however many second place finishes we have in the playoffs, one spot.
is it just the other guy has more speed? Is it strategy that you think it's, you can pin it on? Or?
No, I don't think anything's been a weakness in some ways. I feel like, you know, looking at Kansas, we had our best mile and a half race of the year. You know, that's probably been one of our weaknesses throughout the season. And you look at Kansas, I mean, we led the majority of the laps and probably weren't the fastest car, but able to execute and put ourselves in position. And, you know, you can look at so many races really within the last 10 weeks that, you know, we had a chance to win at. So there's only so long you can be so consistent. And, this weekend's the same.
Surprised that Kansas was your best one, because the playoff race there primarily hasn't
third time is the charm. Third playoff race of Kansas is the charm. Yeah, so Kansas, we've always been fast there for whatever reason. Just a lot of chaos. We were fast enough this time to be in front of all of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you know, after this weekend, it's on to the Cup Series for you. So in the handful of starts you've made this year, what's the most important thing you've gleaned or learned that you think is going to help you hit the ground running in February?
Well, I think I've got a really solid base as far as what to expect. And by that, I mean, I've obviously known the entire season that the car is a lot less relevant than the series and the competitors than the racetracks themselves. You know, whether if that's the flow of restarts or what it takes or the level of competitiveness. And like I said, the competitors, I've raced against a lot of the same guys for the last 3-4 years of my career. And I think it was a good wake up call doing some of those cup races, how much different it is when you don't know the people you're racing against and vice versa.
What was the biggest part of that wake up call? Like the eye opening thing?
I think right away in Atlanta for me, just on restarts, so you know what to expect, what the mentality is when you're running 20th. You know, I don't think I've ever run 20th throughout a majority of a race since in a national series ever. So, and that's like a normality, honestly. You know, I look at guys that I've raced against in the past, and they move up to the Cup Series, and yeah, it's once you get inside of the top 20, it's quite challenging. And I feel like I got a lot of perspective on what it takes to not only do that, but also what it takes to move yourself forward and run inside the top 15, run inside the top 10 and be competitive.
You've had a lot of success at Phoenix in the past, of course, winning in March and winning here last year. What is your thought process going into this week, getting to compete for a championship at a track that you're familiar with and that you've had a lot of success in?
Yeah, it's certainly great to come back to Phoenix. It's somewhere where I actually probably have more NASCAR starts than any other racetrack, dating back to 2015 in the Truck Series. So for me, there's a certain familiarity there, but otherwise, you know, everyone continually steps up their game. You know, we're not going to say that, if we just show up with the same race car we had, you know, 2 races ago, we're going to go out and win the race. No, we have to continually get better, because our competitors are going to continually get better. You know, it is challenging to win 2 races in a row, let alone 3, and obviously championship-wise as well.
What has the anticipation for this week been like after last year winning it all? Have you felt a little more comfortable coming into this week, or how have you been feeling?
I think there's less newness as far as that's concerned for me, as far as, you know, what to expect out of myself. I learned a lot about what to expect out of myself last year, and I feel like I learned a lot in a positive way from the mentality that I took, and I think I'm bringing that mentality back again, and it's just the fact that I'm happy to be here. You know, yeah, I've won the championship. It says champion right there, but that doesn't guarantee me anything on Saturday. So happy to be here, happy to have a shot, happy to be part of the conversation, and happy to be driving fast race cars. So looking forward to taking the most of that opportunity.
So you had that win here last year. What you did not have is the interaction with all the fans and that interactive victory lane.
what it'd be like to finally actually win here and then be able to celebrate with, I don't know, like 200, 300 close friends with you right there.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. I have thought about that. You know, the number of years I've gone to NASCAR banquets and, you know, listen to other people talk about all the great things that have happened to them throughout the year. Yeah, that'll be cool if we get that opportunity. But I wouldn't say that's a motivator. It's just probably an added bonus if we're able to do our jobs.
Was it different last year, kind of having some of the limits on, you know, fan attendance and some of the in-person things that are coming back this year?
Not that I would say it wouldn't happen this year, but our team celebration last year was in the parking garage of our hotel in the back of a pickup truck with a cardboard box full of beer. So not as glamorous as you might think, but probably just as effective as a team experience.
What's the biggest thing that you learned last year that can help you win this year's championship?
At the end of the day, man, it is just a race, and I feel like that's like kind of a boring answer, but it is just one race, and you have to take all the small details and all the big details of what it takes to win a race and apply them to this weekend, and it can't be any simpler than that in my mind. I think the only thing that changes for me preparation wise is I know the three people I have to beat, and that's different than every other weekend. In some ways you could say it simplifies it, you know, compared to a normal race weekend, because, you know, you're normally having to beat 10 other guys, and this weekend it's just three. You know, it's three of the best in the series, but it's just three. So for me, it's in some ways a numbers game, but otherwise it's the same job.
Do you want to know where those other three are running without the race, or are you focused on your own?
If I can't see them, things are going either really well or really bad. So I'll certainly understand the situation, hopefully, as I can see it either in my mirror or in my windshield. It's probably the difference of a half a mile, a little more banking. Otherwise, obviously, the mentality of Martinsville for a lot of guys was a, you know, winner takes all, must win to get in. There's a lot of aggression in all three series, but otherwise, that all changes in Phoenix for sure. Yeah, obviously, to win a title, you put the expectation that you have to win the race to win the championship. Yes, there are scenarios in which I don't have to win, but I'd certainly want to, and I'd certainly want to put ourselves in that position. But I think I've heard Chase Elliott say it before, and I really like this. It's that past success doesn't equal future success, and I'm a believer in that. My race team, I feel like, believes in that, because, you know, otherwise we'd be bringing the same exact race car that's, you know, sitting in some museum somewhere for Roger. We'd be bringing that same race car and trying to do the same job with it. You know, it's different. Our cars are different. My notebook is bigger. Our race setups continue to evolve, and I have to also know that, you know, in the last two races, our competitors look at us and say that how do we match that and better it, and I have to respect that as a competitor, and knowing that I have to continually up my game as well as my race team to stay in front. Yes and no. There's a certain extent where you can't think for anybody else. So there's certain limitations that I feel like we have there that we have to continually improve. And I guess just as of recent, those limitations haven't been as limiting as others.
I know you probably haven't looked too far past Saturday because, you know, championship and whatnot. But next week there's a lot of racing here, USAC, and of course, time for Rallycross. You know, Travis has kind of been going out and recruiting. Have you even thought about trying to go do some Rallycross? Maybe try to get Roger to buy you.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but you know, Rallycross is a lot of my racing background, so definitely a lot of friends kind of resurfacing as far as that series goes. It's been fun to watch all that stuff kind of come back together. They've got a lot of exciting stuff coming in the future with kind of a new car and a new series, so excited to see all that. Yeah, yes and no, had some opportunities to go do it, but otherwise looking forward to watching it.
Unlike the Cup Series, Xfinity Series seems to have back-to-back champions in a fairly commonplace deal. Does that sort of give you confidence that the fact that Dale Jr., Truex, Stenhouse, Reddick all won back-to-back?
It sounds great to me. It absolutely sounds great. So I'll take it if you're handing it out. But otherwise, I got to go get it.
But I mean, does it give you confidence? And how valuable has the experience been of winning the first title and then going after a second?
I think the value for me is having another season to, whether if that's let things slow down, focus on some smaller details that might help me in the future. Those are the things that I feel like I've benefited from, you know, in the 2021 season versus 2020.
With you moving into the two car and cup next season, what specifically do you want to take away from this weekend, maybe emotionally or sentimentally?
I'm not sure how much relatability this weekend specifically has to my commitments next year racing the two car, but for me, I'd like to think that this series has probably taught me more than any other series I've raced in, and whether that's the people or my own personal experience and my growth as a driver, but I'd certainly love to end that on the best note possible. Yeah, I feel like this year is probably going to do this venue justice for having a championship race, get a lot of people excited about it because, you know, really since they moved the grandstands, obviously the infield is a lot more enhanced than it was when I first raced it at Phoenix. I'm excited for the feedback and to see what the fans think. But obviously my job is still the same, but it'll certainly be that much more gratifying to have, you know, the full support and the full NASCAR fan base excited for championship weekend. I don't think it changes my performance much. You know, I feel like I'm very self-motivated. Otherwise, it's certainly great to see people get excited about our sport. It's obviously the backbone of what we do. So to see everyone excited, not just to hear about it, but actually physically feel it is pretty cool to experience.
How would you handicap your three competitors?
How would I handicap them? I wouldn't say. I look at all three of them and I'd say they have enough strengths to win the championship. So for me, I have to respect that. I have to try and equalize that. I have to understand what I can do to offset that and take it in stride. You know, I think of the three guys that I'm racing, you know, they're the three best in the series this year, and that's why they're here. So I'm excited for that challenge and going up against the best. Cool.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you. Just hang around. They'll rotate over here.
Like, you know, it's all a little bit of time. No
Howdy.
Howdy. Do you want something to do? I can ask you questions.
What do you got?
I want to go back actually to Martinsville.
Okay.
Because I think it stood out to a few people the way you came to Daniel's basically defense about that question about being winless. Not necessarily what made you do that, but I guess is that just a show of just the respect that you have for a fellow competitor to say something like that?
I think that's a good way of characterizing it. You know, I've obviously raced against Daniel for a while. He's been in the series and he's been in the sport for a while, and he's obviously shown that he belongs, you know, to whatever extent that may be. You know, obviously he's competitive every weekend. He's a guy that I feel like I can race hard and very respectfully, and I have a great appreciation for it. It doesn't take much, but I have a great appreciation for guys that handle themselves that way, and you know, winning a race or not winning a race, whatever it may be, you know. And I've noticed it in myself, you know, for the longest time it was, oh, well, Austin can't win on ovals. Oh, well, Austin can't win on this type of track. He can't win on, now apparently I can't win on a short track. Like, if you haven't done something, oh, that's all people will talk about. So I can relate to that, absolutely. And I mean, you hear with Truex, oh, he couldn't win on a short track. And he's like the guy that dominates most short tracks. Like, it's one of those things that you have to be aware of, but at the same time, it does get old to listen to it after a while. And from Daniel's perspective, like, he can't just stick up for himself and make us think about it, because it kind of just makes you look like an ass. But sometimes you need somebody else to do it for you, and I have enough respect for Daniel to stick my neck out in that way.
Anticipate what's the respect level? What's your relationship with these three other guys?
I think the respect level is quite high. You know, I feel like in high-pressure situations, Noah and I have really had a relationship put on the test, and I think there's only positives. Honestly, you look at last year at Phoenix when coming to the line, trying to race for the win, trying to race for a championship, he raced me extremely respectfully. In the same situation last weekend when he's trying to race his way, and I'm not going to put him in the fence, you know, for no reason, you know, other than trying to win the race, and I still felt like I could do it without doing so. So, and then obviously AJ and I have raced each other hard since, you know, I got into the series. So, I feel like he and I have a pretty great understanding, but at the same time, to your point about the four of us being polar opposites, we're all at different points in our career. Obviously AJ's extremely experienced and just wants to be in the Xfinity Series. Noah's trying to grow his career. He's coming back for another season. Daniel's probably the different of the most of us, you know, kind of up and down and back up again, like trying to understand where he falls. And obviously it's kind of fun because everybody's motivation level is different. And for me, I'm very self-motivated, and I'd love to end this on the biggest high possible.
Awesome. This is the second year in a row that you've been here at Championship Weekend in Phoenix. How do you describe the overall atmosphere as far as the championship experience and Phoenix as a host city?
Well, I think this year we're going to get to understand what Phoenix as a host city actually means. So I think for me, that's the newness. That's what I'm excited to see, because I feel like it is a great venue, even coming here and coming to a convention center and talking to all y'all in person. Like the last time I did this was in 2017 in the Truck Series when I made the championship four. So it was like, you know, it's been a while since I've kind of felt that. Not that I need to be felt special in any way, but like it's kind of fun to understand, you know, this is important. This is what matters. This is what we've worked the entire year for, and not just us, but the entire industry.
You're the last great hope for Penske this year. Miserable Indy car. They had a miserable cup. It's up to you, big boy. Is you know, you feeling the pressure there?
I feel like that's pretty hard on our race team. Finishing second in the IndyCar Championship is not a miserable season. I know the expectations are high. Obviously, to get all three of our guys in the round of eight in the Cup Series, pretty big bummer for one of them not to be in the Champ Four. You know, I think we've got, you know, three of the best Cup drivers in our lineup. So, obviously, a disappointment. But to your point, still get to wave the flag for Team Penske and Ford. And I'm excited for that. You know, when I walked into the shop early on Monday morning, I've never seen that many people surrounding two Xfinity cars in my life. So that gets me excited. That gets me motivated. You know, this means just as much to our race team as anything else. So for me to be the guy that has the opportunity to do it, it's pretty fun.
Sunday as he did, trying just to, you know, give his all in an impossible position. So I guess, you know, what is your relationship been with him, and, you know, how do you feel about taking over that responsibility next year?
Yeah, it's certainly big shoes to fill, and obviously Brad has filled a lot of roles for me in my career, whether if that's as a team owner, as a teammate, as even as a kid, someone to look up to. You know, I can remember when, you know, he came over to our house and we played the NASCAR video game in our basement. Like, just, you know, that progression has been almost strange for me to really wrap my head around. And it might be more challenging for Brad because he's probably been able to witness it more than I have, just being a kid and not even recognizing, you know, some of the people that have been around. But you know, obviously Brad's at a completely different point in his career. But you mentioned the race on Sunday, and I even texted Brad after the race. I was the biggest Brad Keselowski fan. I was the believer for the last 90 laps of that race, because, you know, they came on strong. And not to mention, it's the team I'm going to be working with next year, the same crew chief, and I've started to get to know those guys more. And I got really excited standing up in my living room yelling at the TV. And obviously they came really close. But you know, he's a fighter, and he's a great leader, and obviously his presence is felt in our race team, and we're certainly going to miss him.
You probably didn't get as much seat time this year in Cup car as you would have liked, or, you know, what have you, because it's not going to matter next year. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, how do you get up to speed in that new car? You just feel like it's going to be a challenge, not just for you, but the other, you know, 38 guys too.
Yeah, with challenges comes opportunity. Obviously, I think through the discovery process of what works for those cars, and understanding, you know, how to prepare, and, you know, what a race is going to look like in the next gen car, I think is a great opportunity for someone like me. But otherwise, I'm a big believer that the challenges are still going to remain as far as being a rookie in the Cup Series, and how challenging that is. You know, I watch guys that come in and win a bunch of races in Xfinity Series. Series, move up to the Cup Series, and they have a tough time for a little while. And my expectations are certainly in check for what that may be like. But I think this season, having the opportunity to do some races in the 33 car has really given me a great base layer at pretty much all types of racetracks to understand what that flow is going to be like, what that, you know, challenge is going to be like for me. And I feel like it's also given my race team a level of expectation for what to do. And with that being said, I had some fun in those Cup races, probably more than I was expecting to be honest. You know, leading the Daytona 500, making it in with, you know, by the skin of our teeth, and leading laps at, you know, Coda Road America, you know, you name it. It was pretty cool. But and probably unexpected, and you know, I think for me, one of the bigger challenges that I didn't foresee is that I've raced against the same guys for the last 4 years, give or take, and I'm going to have new competitors that I'm going to have to learn, and probably more competitors that I'm going to have to learn as far as how they race and how that plays out, because it is a social sport, and when you're spending, you know, 4 hours 2 inches away from people, it's you have to be able to trust one another, and vice versa, probably more on the other side, they have to be able to trust me. But otherwise, it's a great challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
What's been the one characteristic that you've been proud of building from the time you came to the Xfinity in 2018 to now going to this one last ride as a full-time regular in Xfinity?
I think it's a good question. I don't know if there's one specific characteristic, and I just feel like my transition as far as being a guy that's in the field to being a guy that's respected in the field has been the transition for me. And I feel that even if it's walking around through the garage area, talking to guys on other teams and you know, being able to be loose and everyone comfortable around you, you know, I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect from me early on, and that's understandable. Something different, something new. How are you supposed to act? But you know, for me, that's been pretty gratifying to be able to earn that respect the right way. And you know, a lot of that's credit to the people around me that have helped me grow into that role. And you know, looking forward to kind of closing that chapter this weekend.
How has your dad helped you kind of through that? I mean, you stuck up for the IndyCar right away, you know, and came up finishing second, which, like you said, they went back to back and then still finished second. How much has that helped, you know, growing up around the wins and losses, to just kind of keep it in perspective?
Yeah, I think any time that I'm on the phone with my dad and complain about something that involves being a race car driver, he tells me you're the one that wanted to do it, and that's where the conversation ends. So otherwise it's up to me to make those conclusions. But you know, he's been a great ally for me, just, you know, from a what's expected and what's normal standpoint, if that makes sense. You know, how to be the best race car driver. You know, he's led an organization that expects absolute excellence, and so that's what's expected out of me as a default, and I feel like that's benefited me greatly in my career.
Does that help you with the opportunity to go back to back and win two back to back championships?
It certainly can't hurt.
How does this weekend, you got the champion logo on your jersey, you had it all year, how does it different coming one for the other and coming in this weekend?
I think there's less newness as far as, you know, what to expect and what that feels like. And I learned a lot about myself last year, and I was very open-minded about, you know, being very self-reflective through the whole process, whether that's the week leading up to it and making it there, and obviously being content with just being part of it, and not content in the sense that I'm not motivated to go out and try and be the best, but content with knowing that you've just accomplished something that, you know, everybody else in the series has tried to do. So for me, it's a great opportunity to go do the same thing. I think the mentality for me is the same. I've learned a lot about myself, and like I said before, it's a great opportunity to close a chapter in a pretty thick book of mine.
Do you have any nerves coming in here this weekend?
I don't get nervous. I'll be interested to see if I get nervous before the race on Saturday, but I get confidence from knowledge and feel like we've prepared ourselves the best way possible, and from there, we got a job to do.
In the Cup Series, we have some chaos, some pissed off drivers, people that may owe somebody something. Do you have any targets on your back, or do you have any Hamlin skeletons or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. I feel like I've navigated that, you know, whether it's cleverly or consciously, maybe that's a better word for it, but you know, I feel like I have a great respect for the three people that I'm racing for this championship, and I feel like that's mutual.
This is kind of a question jumping off that too, but just like, you know, when you go into the Cup Series next season and you're sort of thinking about, okay, how do I race around some of these veteran drivers? Like, how are you thinking about that? Is it, okay, I've got to maybe defer at some points if I'm newer and prove myself, or do you go in and prove yourself by racing them hard?
I think at the end of the day, you know, as social as it may be, and it may seem, and it certainly is, but the best way to earn respect is to outrun somebody. And that's as simple as it may come, and that may come quickly, it may come slowly, but that's certainly the goal no matter what. So if I focus on my job, I think the rest will come.
And then what about even just handling, like, you know, you get into someone accidentally and spin them out, and do you owe them a text at that point, an apology? What's your philosophy on that?
Yeah, I feel like in the Cup Series, not more sensitive to it, but I feel like there's a lot more driver-to-driver communication than there is in lower series, because, you know, some of the mentality, even like, you know, whether it's go-karts, legends cars, or whatever else, like, oh, I'm not going to be dealing with this guy for that long, so who really cares? Like, that's probably just a one-and-done thing, and I'm not going to worry about it, and that mentality can get you so far. But we're talking about guys that are 5-10-year veterans of the sport that you're going to have to deal with if you want to be good at this. So you might as well tread lightly in a lot of situations. But at the same time, you have a job to do. You have, you know, the competitor inside you wants to do the best, and mistakes can be made. So I feel like I'm the first one to point the finger at myself. If it's my fault, and I've done that in the past, and I've climbed my way up that ladder before, and definitely not going to speculate on anything I haven't done yet. Thanks. Yeah, I feel like we certainly have a lot of strengths, and I feel like one of those is consistency. You know, we've been able to consistently execute throughout the year, and I think it's really shown, whether if it's in points or race finishes or the speed we bring every weekend in our race cars. But I look at the guys that I'm racing against this weekend, and a lot of them have strengths that are good enough to win a championship, and I will say that I feel like those strengths are not something that we can equal on our race team. So I'm excited for that opportunity. Knowing that, I feel confident in that, and kind of go do it.
Awesome. And you get around Phoenix really, really well. What makes you so good at this track?
I'm not sure if there's one thing or another, but you know, I have always liked racetracks where you can use the brakes and modulate the car throughout a run. Otherwise, I feel like it takes a fast race car to win races. So, and I've had some really fast race cars at Phoenix, and you know, kind of my early days trying to learn how to use them. And I feel like I've learned a lot from this racetrack, and it's, you know, seeing the fruits of that benefit has been fun the last two races.
And have you noticed your preparation like differ from last year, just going into your second championship?
I may pay more attention to some smaller details, but otherwise our preparation level as a race team is fairly consistent with what we had last year. Our process throughout the week has been very consistent. It's been good to get in a groove, you know, at even as someone who's 23 years old, like, you know, you spend your whole life, you know, you go to this grade in school and you got to go to high school, and you have all these processes that change constantly. And you always think about how can people get, you know, not in a rut, but in a routine, you know, year to year to year. You know, you look at it as an adult. Like, this is probably the most adult I've felt, because I've had like a process with my team, with my people that I work with my peers, and just going and executing on it has been pretty gratifying. And that also being a basis of success has been even more gratifying. I'm pretty boring when it comes to race traveling, because I'm like not paranoid, but like I'd rather just like have a quick meal and go to bed. So I don't do a whole lot of exploring when I'm racing. So.
All right. Well, I mean, it's been a little quiet on Disney Plus with Star Wars content. So are you looking forward to anything on there to kind of keep yourself busy while we wait for the next Mandalorian or something?
Yeah, I have watched the cartoon ones that they call the Visions. The Star Wars Vision. So I've watched all of those. I think those were pretty good. I've actually gotten into like watching Naruto lately, which actually is very funny. The timing of when Visions came out to when I started watching some episodes of Naruto is like very like linear. So kind of fun to watch that and learn about that. But really excited about the Book of Boba Fett coming out, Mandalorian. A lot of things to be excited about in the Star Wars universe for sure. So I'm still catching up because I never watched all of the Clone Wars seasons. So, yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of Clone Wars to get through. So I've tried not to spoil myself with the Bad Batch yet. Is it worth it? I think so. I think so. Slowly but surely, it is worth it. Merry Christmas, by the way, Chris. My band teacher would always say Merry Christmas when you walk into school, so.
What are you going to do during the offseason?
I have how many tests? 5, 4 next gen tests. Those are my circled fun moments.
So what do you do to, like, last question, guys, recharge?
I guess I haven't considered that. Maybe sleep in a little bit more. Otherwise, my off-season workouts are more challenging than my in-season workouts. So, my trainer is certainly looking forward to not caring if I'm sore the next day. I did buy a house last off-season, moved in during the season, kind of be able to get completely settled in. So, I wouldn't say that's a stress release, but it's maybe something to take my mind off. I usually work on my project car during the off-season. Usually get big chunks done on that. So, looking forward to getting back to that. I'd say from a day-to-day basis, I feel like a lot of people can relate to just coming home after eating dinner and jumping on the Xbox for a couple hours with your buddies and just decompressing, not even caring about how it's going, just decompressing about the day and understanding, you know, and just taking your mind off everything else. I'd say that's how I pretty much close out almost every day.
Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, awesome.
Yep. Thank you.